Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. And Sean, what an exciting, exciting, very busy sports weekend, especially if you're in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, yes, Sean Wally, you are mentioning, of course, the retirement of one number 24, Ken Griffey Jr. And, man, it was an exciting weekend for the Seattle Mariners and for yourself being at the safe and getting a chance to witness Ken Griffey speaking and, of course, bringing out a lot of the old players and a lot of nostalgia.
You better believe it. And anybody that knows me, anybody that, you know, grew up in the 90s knows that Griffey was the man, always will be the man, and I haven't missed any of his returns to Seattle, even when he donned that ugly Reds uniform back around 2007. But, you know, just a historic weekend, a historic night on Saturday when the number 24 was officially retired from the entire Seattle Mariner organization. And as you said, former players were there, a lot of juniors, teammates, the greats, the notables, like Dan Wilson, Edgar Martinez, of course, who is the hitting coach for the Mariners. And who can forget Jay Buhner, his best buddy?
Now, come on here, Sean. I mean, I know that you're a Seattle Mariners fan through and through, and that nobody can attest to that. But to say that he donned an ugly red uniform, I mean, that's a part of his heritage. That's a part of his culture just as much as Seattle Mariners. Because his dad did play for the Big Red Machine as well, I would just say that, hey, let's just be grateful and happy that he had such an awesome career, the majority of it in Seattle, yes, but man, let's not do that to the Cincinnati Reds. Come on, you're better than that, Sean Wally.
Hey, nobody said I wasn't grateful. It was just a point I made and partially maybe an opinion. I'll give you that much. But the bottom line is I made sure I was there for the retirement of his number 24. Among other times, he's been back to Seattle. And there's a guy that knows a lot about what went on this weekend waiting for us on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines. And that is Terry Holloman. Terry, thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, T. Holla, thanks for being on, brother. Man, how are things going? What's been up with you lately?
Man, it's been going pretty good, pretty hectic schedule, man. The barbershop show that I do with Marcus Trufant is now on KJR Radio here in Seattle Wednesday night, so I've been busy doing that. We've been ramping up for the season. We're going to do some things with the Seahawks organization to beat out of CenturyLink and doing some work with some apartment casino as well. So we've been pretty busy, man, keeping busy.
Now, you had mentioned the barbershop back intact. I know there was a little bit of hiatus, but it seems like things are up and rolling again. Did you get a chance to get to the safe to see Ken Griffey Jr. At Safeco?
You know what? I did not. I was actually really upset that I didn't get a chance to get out there. I originally heard that the tickets were all gone and there was no way to get in. And then so I was like, I just missed the boat on that one. And then I heard that, no, there were still tickets available. And by that time, I had already signed up to take my daughter to basketball and do all that kind of stuff. So, you know, being dad comes first around these parts these days, so I had to miss out. I did catch some of the highlights of it, though.
Hey, T, if you ever need tickets for anything, brother, make sure that you contact Sean Wally. Whenever you need tickets for any sports venue, he will be able to come through for you, I guarantee it.
Sean Wally's the guy? Why don't you guys just tell me?
He is the guy. As a matter of fact, Sean, you posted something on Facebook that you had tickets available.
Man, T, I was blasting 3, 4, 5 times leading up to Saturday. I even posted on Saturday. Tickets fell to $25 a piece, brother.
Oh, man. See, what had happened was, my Facebook account was shut down that day, see?
No, it all makes sense.
Listen, no, I absolutely do. I understand it was an incredible event. I heard it was a moving event. People told me that it was actually more moving being there at that ceremony where they retired the 24 jersey than it was that Cooperstown. So that it was more emotional, more heartfelt, and he had a lot more support out there safe than he did when he was actually going to the Hall of Fame.
Terry, what are your fondest memories of Griffey in action on the diamond?
Man, I mean, you know what? Here's the thing. So I grew up not a big baseball fan, but this is what I've been saying about King Griffey Jr. He was such an important figure to not only Seattle, not only to the Mariners organization, but to the game of baseball as well, that he transcended sport. And I was a fan of, there was so many. I was probably the number one image I have of Griffey is scoring that winning run in 95. That sent them on the playoffs. You know what I'm talking about? The slide in 95?
Oh, yes. Edgar, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's one of the most iconic. And I also, just watching him saunter up to the plate and take that iconic swing every single time he was at bat, it was just, there's never been anything like it before in the past, and there'll never be another one like it again in the future. It was the most perfect baseball swing that you will ever see, and there's no duplicating it. So I also have some other great memories of King Griffey Jr. being that I was playing for the University of Washington at the time while he was in Seattle at the prime of his career. And I happened to see him a bunch of times out in the community. I was very good friends with a guy that played by the name of Napoleon Kaufman. You guys remember that guy?
Oh, man, do I. You know, he donned the silver and black. And
one
don't
of the greatest.
Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, well, Napoleon and I were very, very close friends. We were, like, inseparable. And Napoleon got drafted. He was very good friends with King Griffey Jr. And one year, I remember, King Griffey Jr. happened to not be playing baseball because he had a broken wrist. And so Napoleon and I'm being a sophomore in college, are going over to King Griffey Jr.'s house playing video games and eating potato chips while King Griffey Jr. is recovering from a broken wrist. So that is probably my fondest memory of King Griffey Jr. And I remember sitting in his living room thinking, I'm hanging out with this guy. He's just one of the guys. He was basically the kid. And one day, this guy is going to be in the Hall of Fame. And I thought that back in 94. I remember vividly having that thought. And here we are today. He's not only a Hall of Famer, he's had his Mariners jersey retired. And he's listed, he'll be one of the greatest baseball players that have ever lived.
Terry, did you have to pinch yourself and wonder if that was really real, playing video games at Junior's house?
This is what I'm being completely honest with you. When I was there, he was such a regular guy, like a cool, down-to-earth. And at that time, he was really literally still a kid. Like, we were in his house playing video games. Like, Madden. I think it was Madden at the time we were playing. And he used to, there were these potato chips that he was, like, addicted to that you could only get in Ohio. And he used to have them shipped out here to Seattle. Because I remember eating them. I'm like, what are these chips? He's like, yeah, I get those shipped in, man. I think they're called Grippos. And you could only get them in Ohio. And he had them shipped out here. So I really remember thinking this guy is so cool and down to earth that I forgot, literally, for an entire day that this was King Griffey Jr.
Terry Holloman joining us here on the double, and man, those are great stories. It's not every day that you get a chance to hang out with the kid, and man, you're saying back in 1994, that's probably the height of his illustrious rap career with Kid Sensation. And this is the way I swing, man. Do you remember that one?
Yes, as a matter of fact, actually, it's funny that you say that. We were at an event last weekend in Tacoma called the Beast Mode Challenge. Marshawn Lynch's Foundation did like a Tough Mudder type of race where the guys were swimming through mud and climbing over dirt mounds and all that kind of good stuff, crazy stuff. And one of the performers during the show was Kid Sensation. So I got to stand on stage. Listen, I know I sound like I'm bragging now, but these are true stories. I'm the MC of this event. And Kid Sensation comes up on stage. His name is now Cola, X-O-L-A. And he's rapping some of his new songs. You know, he's a little older. He's singing more responsibly now. But to end his show, he rapped Posse on Broadway. And guess what? Guess what? I was an MC, so I still had the microphone in my hand. I started rapping it with him. I'm on stage rapping Posse on Broadway with Kid Sensation, man.
I live my life.
tell me that's on YouTube somewhere.
Probably not.
Man, you just can't make that kind of stuff up, though, man. That's awesome. That's awesome.
No, it was a good time.
Now, T, of course, you get a chance to cover the Seattle Seahawks, and there's some great things happening on the VMAC in Renton. What's going on with the Seahawks, man? Are they going to regroup and take the throne of the NFC?
You know what? There's a lot of hype about this team, and rightfully so. I was actually speaking to Marcus Trufant, my co-host, and a longtime 10-year NFL veteran, about this team. There's so much excitement because, and they're comparing these guys favorably to the team that went down and won the Super Bowl in 2013. The big difference between these guys and those guys is that these guys are a little bit more mature. Those guys were young and braggadocious, had a little swagger, and thought, yeah, we're going to line up on every play and smack somebody in the mouth. These guys are still going to do that, but they're going to do it in a much more mature fashion. They're going to be, Richard Sherman is probably not the same loudmouth guy that everybody thought he was back in 2013. That being said, solid, solid organization. Russell Wilson, in his fifth year, he's got full command of that offense. He's got full command of that team. Everybody respects him. He looks like he's about to take the next step and move his career to the upper echelon of, like, the Tom Brady, the Peyton Manning, if everything holds true to this season. You got a veteran wide receiver core that's being led by Doug Baldwin, who got new money this year, so he's happy. He's going to be productive, just as he was at the end of the last season. Young guys like Tyler Lockett, he's going to jump out and surprise a lot of people around the country that really just thought he was a return specialist. He's actually proven to be a very talented wide receiver. The running back position, we get Thomas Rawls. He actually was declared physically able to practice today, so we'll get a chance to see him. We probably won't see that much of him in the preseason, I imagine, just because they don't want to really risk injuring that ankle again. He's going to be solid. Everything is looking good on that offense, except for their offensive line. And that has always been the question about these guys for the last couple of years. And I think they were the scapegoat last season as to why they started off 4-5. They have a bunch of holes they need to fill. They got some young guys in there still trying to figure this thing out. And they brought in some veteran guys. They brought in a guy named Jari Evans from New Orleans, a guy that's been in the league for since the earth cooled. He was a six-time Pro Bowler, though, so he's going to help try to bring some veteran leadership to that offensive line. And on the defense, they're just solid. Like I said, the Legion of Boom is intact. They brought back Brandon Browner, bring back some support for Cam Chance. He's not going to play cornerback. He's too old. So he's going to play safety behind Cam Chance to provide some depth there. Defensive line is solid. It's just they're looking good, guys.
Now, T, you mentioned the defensive side of the ball, which is what I was going to ask you. Of course, you know, because I am an Oakland Raider fan, I do see some things down here that are very similar to what has been going on in Seattle. But more importantly, you're mentioning the solid defense. I'm going to mention some names here because it's almost like it's a hole in the dike. But tell me if Seattle is filling those holes. You have Malcolm Smith, who was a former Super Bowl MVP for the Seattle Seahawks, now with the Oakland Raiders. You also have Bruce Irvin, who is now with the Oakland Raiders. And also you have a defensive linebackers coach, now defensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders, and Ken Norton Jr. How much of that can Seattle fill? Because these are some marquee names. I mean, are they set to fill those gaps and become the
some of those names that you mentioned are really hard to fill, almost impossible to fill, like a Bruce Irvin. The things that he brought to the table to the Seahawks defense, the way that he was able to get after opposing teams' quarterbacks, you guys really got a gift in getting that guy down there. He's going to be very productive, and he's going to earn every dollar you guys spent him. Jim Norton, he's been gone a year already, so we kind of, you know, we kind of took our loss with that one, and I think they're going to be okay. They got good, they got a good coaching staff in place. As far as that that outside linebacker with Malcolm Smith, that's what the other one you asked about?
Right, yes.
They got some guys here that they've been working in the rotation, and I think the guy that's going to come out of that, his name is Mike Morgan. He's a long, rangy type of linebacker. He can get from sideline to sideline really fast. Similar to Malcolm, man. He's just a solid, solid guy. He's been showing very well in the preseason so far. But when you look at the loss of somebody like a Bruce Irvin, you got to think who's going to make up for that loss of production. And they really, really are really happy with some of the guys that got coming off the edge and getting the quarterback. Of course, Mike Bennett's always there. He's always going to be a guy that's going to get after the quarterback. Then you throw in a guy like Frank Clark, who's coming off a superb first year with the Seahawks last year, and he is looking like what they're saying right now. He's looking like an all-star type of defensive lineman coming off the edge right now for the Seahawks. So they got some pieces, and they're looking really good at this point. If they get any of those guys to get single covered instead of a double or triple covered, like the way Michael Bennett's been getting over the last few years, they'll reach some happy. But like you said, this is a tough division, man. At the top, we're looking at Arizona Cardinals being one of the best teams in the NFL as well. So the Seahawks have definitely got the work cut out for them.
Terry, of course, everybody knows you went to the University of Washington. We move farther north along Lake Washington to the Montlake Cut. The Huskies ranked in the top 20 in most polls. What's your take on your alma mater?
Man, you know what? I'm riding the fence on this one, man, because I love the fact that they're getting this attention. It's been long overdue. You know, I've stuck through this team through, man, through the 0-12 season, through the various coaches that have come and gone. And it's been a long time since they started a season with this high of a ranking. So I'm very pleased with that. That being said, it was 7-6 last year. Was 7-6 last year, and you're returning back pretty much the same team. You've lost some key components, but you'll be replacing them with some pretty decent ones, if not unproven pieces. My theory is we got to play the game, man. You guys got to still get your butts out on the field and produce. There's never been a championship won just on our preseason ranking. Don't let this stuff go to your head. Don't believe the headlines. Get out there and make it happen.
Terry, I really like that thought, and that's almost exactly what head coach Chris Peterson is saying. He said, look, exactly that. We were 7-6. We've done nothing.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's what I'm saying. So you saw last year they had glimpses of great. You know what I'm saying? They had a young quarterback in Browning that was a true freshman. You take a true freshman and put him in the game starting day one, that's virtually unheard of, especially around these parts. And it's tough. It's tough for him to come in and manage a Pac-12 team like the Washington Huskies, being that you were just in high school 4 months ago, 3 months ago. You know what I'm saying? So he's had a year to mature and get that under his belt and learn how to deal with the responsibilities of being a college student, number one. Number two, a starting Pac-12 quarterback. And just a guy that's, you know, going through the day-to-day rigors of being an NC2A Division I student athlete. So that's going to help him a little bit better. And then, of course, that off-season workout training program. And you look at their number one running back, who was, in my opinion, last year, their best threat, which was Myles Gaskin. He was an incredible runner, although he was a little bit slight. A year of the off-season training program, a year of getting to bang with the big boys, as we say, in the Pac-12, it's going to give him that much more experience, that much more, this season, I think. And then you got some guys that are coming back that, in my opinion, this is really what I've been telling people this for a long time, because we as sports fans, sometimes we have a short memory. And I've been telling people one of the biggest pieces we've been missing on this team is John Ross. A couple of years ago, this kid, to me, was the most dynamic player on the team when he was playing wide receiver. he was unstoppable. Like, he was, I think he averaged like 20 yards per catch and was the fastest guy on the field. He was returning kicks. He was out playing wide receiver. And then the following year, they moved him to defense because we lost Peterson because of he got suspended. So they moved him to cornerback because he's that good of an athlete. This year, he returns to wide receiver. And mark my words, this kid is going to do some devastating things in the Pac-12 at that wide receiver position.
Terry Holloman joining us here on the double. We're talking Washington Huskies football on the Montlake. It should be an exciting year. Terry, you mentioned the Huskies going 7-6 last year. This year, the schedule looks a little bit more in their favor. The first three games of the season are on Montlake against Rutgers, Idaho, and Portland State. Man, that sounds like 3-0 to me before they go down to Tucson and take on and bear down against Arizona.
Well, see, what we've done, we've taken a page out of the playbook of the SEC, man. You know, the SEC does this every single year. They line up these passes from, like, North Appalachian, Wesley State for the first four games in a row. Before you know it, they're 4-0. The blow team's out 70-0. And then you're wondering why they're at the top of the polls every year. Well, hey, guess what? You guys, let's decide to take a page out of that book. And let's schedule, you know, the Portland States and the Idahos and the Rutgers start off the season rather than, you know, normally we'll start with some kind of a juggernaut just because we want to put on a good game. You got these guys in the past where we've gone to Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame. You name it, we line up to play them. Just, I think it's part of the Washington bravado. We want to play anybody, anywhere, anytime. But, hey, guess what? If you don't have to beat your players up at the beginning of the season, you can preserve those guys as you move into the Pac-12 season where it's going to be a dogfight every week anyways. Why wouldn't you do it? And I think it's great for them to do it. It's great for these other smaller schools to get that exposure. Come out here to the West Coast if you're Rutgers and let these guys on the West Coast get exposed to your program, and maybe you might catch one or two recruits that want to come from here and go to Rutgers. You probably won't because we're going to beat the dog crap out of you in Montlake. But, you know, it's a thought. And Portland State, right down the road, you know, hey, come on up the freeway and hang out up here in Seattle for a little while. You know, get yourself a latte, get beat on the head, and go back down the freeway. So I'm hyped for these guys. I'm hyped for these guys. I'm hyped for the season. I'm glad they got to schedule a couple of, I want to call them easier games, but at the same time, it's still football. You got to line up and play.
Yeah, you know, T, we thought that these games would be easy when Eastern Washington came into town and, you know, of course, you know, the Big Sky, you know, gave us a run for our money. But why is it? Why is it
that name, Adam?
Vernon Adams. You know, Eastern Washington. They played at University of Oregon. Did an okay job with them as well. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Vernon Adams did an awesome job.
Yep. So we forgot to take him into account. That's why I said still got to play the game, man. So sometimes there might be some sleepers on one of these teams. So keep it up. Don't take it for granted. We definitely got to go out there and put the points up.
Now, T, you mentioned the SEC playing these teams that are lacking. Of course, you know, you look on a schedule like an Alabama or an Auburn, and they're playing like Georgia Southern or something like that. Why do you think that they get the respect? Because, you know, a lot of the times here on the West Coast, we always said there's the East Coast, West Coast bias. But when we say that, people say, oh, you know, you're just saying that. But this is a valid point right here that the Huskies had to really start playing some teams, you know, early, like the Michigans or maybe a Miami or something like that, to actually get themselves on the map to, you know, put themselves in pole position.
Here's the problem that we have out here on the West Coast. And a lot of people talk about this West Coast, East Coast bias deal like it doesn't really exist. And I'll tell you the reason why it exists. I've lived it, so I can really tell you why it's there. It has everything to do with the time zone, believe it or not. For instance, I used to live in Texas before I moved to Washington. And so I would wake up and I'd watch the games. It'd be noon, and I'd watch the games. They'd come on. And 2 or 3 o'clock, guess what? My TV's off now, and I'm going about my day. So when our games kick off here, suppose we have a night game at 7 o'clock here in Seattle. Everybody on the East Coast is asleep. Nobody's watching West Coast games over here. They don't even know we exist. When I lived in Texas, I had no idea they were playing football on the West Coast. If you didn't play in Texas or East, you really didn't exist at all. And really, if you live in Texas, if they don't play football in Texas, the team you're following, you don't watch them anyway. So my point is, the fans don't really get exposed to the team out here on the West Coast because they don't get a chance to see them. When I went to Iowa, I remember going to Iowa back in 1999, 98, and I wanted to see UW versus Nebraska game on TV. And me and my buddy went to every single sports bar in the city, and they did not have it anywhere. So they don't get a chance to see us. The people that are voting all the time don't get a chance to see. And it's unfortunate, but and that's why I think you're right, exactly right, why UW scheduled a lot of those teams like the Ohio State and the Michigan and the Miami back in the day so we would get that national exposure. But now it's just a matter of we're looking at these how they're scheduling it for the playoffs. You just got to find an opponent and drum the hell out of them and just rack up as many points as you can and hang as many goose heads on these teams as you can just because now they're looking at the record and the strength of schedule, I guess, right? But that's not how they figure that schedule out, who's going to the playoffs.
You know, as soon as you find out how they figure that out, please let me know because, you know, it's beyond me.
Yeah, they get a magic wand and sprinkle some chicken blood in a hat and shake it around. And poof, a magic cloud smoke appears, and that's who's going, Alabama.
Terry, before we let you run, let's talk some barbershop. You guys are now on Sports Radio 950 KJR in Seattle, Wednesdays 6 to 8 p.m. Is it the same show that used to be on that other station, or have you made a few changes? What can people expect every Wednesday?
Well, yeah, it's myself and Marcus Trufant, and it's pretty much the same platform, the same system, the same barbershop that you always come to know and love. We tend to not take ourselves too seriously at all. It's all fun. You know, we talk sports, football, basketball, no baseball at all. Neither one of myself or Marcus Trufant know anything about baseball. We do cover it when there's something to cover, when there's something worthwhile. We've come to find out that baseball fans are so serious about their sport that if you don't know what you're talking about, they're going to sniff you out real quick. And I'd rather let you know up front, I don't know anything about this game, so that you don't think I'm some kind of fraud. So we just have a lot of fun. We talk sports, current events, politics, everything under the sun, and try to have a good time with it.
Terry Holloman, thank you so much for your time. You can follow him on Twitter at Terry Holloman and also the Barbershop at @barbershopshow_KJRAM in Seattle, 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesdays after you listen to our show Mondays at 7. Terry, thanks for your time, buddy.
Man, thanks, always Terry. A pleasure, Sean.
There goes Terry Holloman doing great things in the sports broadcasting world in and around Seattle.
Man, you know, I got to follow T. Holler on that with the baseball, man. I mean, you know, I do follow it a little bit, but not as much as the avid fan. For crying out loud, Sean Wally, 162 regular season games. Come on, man. Can you follow that the whole way through? I can't. And so I do definitely understand what T. Holler is talking about, man. It was good having him on. So we're going to take a quick break here. And when we return, we're going to have guest number two. That is Tony White, King 5 producer extraordinaire. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com. Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds, and more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest, I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435. Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds, and more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest, I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. And let's go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in King 5 Sports Executive Producer Tony White. Tony, thanks for your time tonight.
No problem. How you doing?
Hey, Tony, thanks for being on with us. I know that you have a very excruciating schedule being the executive producer for King 5. Man, and let's not forget Emmy and Merle Award-winning producer Tony White, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, you build me up too much.
Tony, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about the Olympics, man. Now, I know I'm trying to stay abreast on what's going on. I can't keep up too much. I watched a little bit of swimming last night and, you know, saw Michael Phelps do his thing. I believe it was the 4x100 meter freestyle that the U.S. won, and you know, caught a little bit of the gymnastics last night. What's been your favorite sport so far?
I always like the gymnastics. The American team is something else. The way they dominated last night, saying, you know, if they had that same score later on, they would destroy everybody. It's unheard of what they did last night. But I'm also partial to the U.S. women's basketball team. Working with Sue Bird and Brianna Stewart all the time like we do. It's always fun to see them play.
Now, you'd mentioned the gymnastics. Of course, Simone and Ali did an impeccable job last night. The U.S. Women's team, I believe they said, is somewhere near 10 points ahead of second place. It seems like the gold medal is already in the bag.
Well, you would think, but you never know what happens. I mean, if you remember back to London and Mulroney and the great face that she made after when she was on the podium and she had the silver medal, I mean, she never missed on the vault, and she missed that time, and she ended up with the silver. So you got to keep your feet.
Now, Tony, this is something that I go through every 4 years in the Olympics, and I don't know if this is something you do, but if there was a sport in the Olympics that you would love to participate in the most, which one would it be?
Oh, Well, I think I'd like to play on the basketball team with all those great stars.
That men's team. Of course, they did a number today. They started out a little slow, but wound up putting a shellacking. I can't even remember the team, but they wound up winning by 40 points. You know, one of the teams that's going to be great in this Olympics, I believe that's going to actually push the U.S. team, might be that Australian team.
Yeah, they could. But I think really when you come down to it, both the American basketball teams, they're, for the most part, the women at least are going to run away with it. The men might have a little bit of a challenge here and there, but I think another gold medal is right there for the taking.
Now, Tony, King Five's own Chris Egan apparently drew the short straw, and you sent him to Brazil to hopefully avoid mosquitoes. How did you make that decision, and then how do you decide what stories he covers?
Well, that's really the child of our special projects producer, Peter O'Connell, who is the Olympics guru. You know, I'm not sure how exactly Chris got the job this time. You know, it's been Alan Schauffler for years, but Alan is not with us any longer. So instead of being out at Seahawks training camp, Chris is in Rio and doing a good job there. And I guess just because he's such a good reporter and tells good stories, that he drew the assignment to try to avoid all the mosquitoes.
Now, Tony, what is the role of a sports producer? Of course, everybody sees the Paul Silvies, the Chris Egans in front of the camera, but there's so much work going on behind the scenes.
My job is I run the department. I do all the scheduling. I deal with the news department. But really, it's planning all the schedules, planning the stories, sending out the reporters and the photographers to whatever event or press conference or story we might be doing, and then formatting the shows. And each show is different here. We have so many of them. So I put that together, and I write the show and edit the show. And people ask me, "What does Paul do?" But Paul does all the same things. He doesn't, you know, he's not out having dinner at night or whatever. He's here right next to me, literally right next to me, writing and editing all the shows as we go throughout the night. And that's just the newscast. And then it's, you know, dealing with the rest of the news managers and meetings and sales department, and then our other shows, you know, like the fifth quarter when the Seahawks start. So I produce that as well, and it's going on the road with Seahawks and working, you know, sometimes 21, 22, 23 straight days if you're on the road for 2 weeks at a time. So it really never ends.
Tony White, King Five executive producer, joining us here on The Double. And now, Tony, you had mentioned the rigorous schedule for the NFL. I mean, does it stay exciting, or does it get a little monotonous at times? What's kind of the feel of being an executive producer behind the scenes, you know, for such a great franchise?
You know, sometimes if you have to go to practice day in and day out, and I don't, that can get monotonous, just watching practice over and over. But I think once the games get started and once we hit the road, because it's always nice to travel and watch the games on the road, that's exciting. That rejuvenates you. Excited this year because it's the 11th season of the fifth quarter, and finally, after all this time we've been waiting, to go to New England. The schedule's never worked out that way, and so we get to go to New England this year and down to the L.A. Coliseum, which will be great. I've always wanted to go to the Coliseum, and I was almost there when the Cougs went to the Rose Bowl the last time, and we got halfway down the tunnel to the Cougs practice, and then Mike Leach closed practice. Yeah. So we were sent back up the tunnel, and so I've still never been inside the bowl of the Coliseum. So that will be fun. The second game of the year, September 18th.
Yeah, there's great nostalgia, of course, at the L.A. Coliseum. Some great teams have played there. And as you were mentioning, the now Los Angeles Rams, once again, will be playing the Seattle Seahawks. And that should be a fun time for you.
Yeah, it'll be nice not to go to St. Louis. I like going to St. Louis. I like going to St. Louis and eating in St. Louis. And I think the hotel, the Westin in St. Louis, is where the team used to stay, and we would stay. And it's literally across the street from Busch Stadium, which is exciting. But boy, that place, the Edward Jones Dome, was just a mausoleum every year. I mean, just murmurs throughout the crowd. There's no cheering. They're just there. It's just kind of a hum throughout the game. So it'll be nice to get back to L.A., where I'm sure which will be the Rams' first game in L.A., their first home game. So it should be very exciting.
Now, you're mentioning St. Louis. Of course, my co-host Sean Wally was just there in St. Louis just a few months ago and got a chance to experience exactly what you're talking about. I'm sure that there are some great – the ballpark is nice, but, yeah, that Edward Jones arena, football arena, I'm sure was just not the business, if you will.
No, it was terrible. Hey, but where hasn't Sean Wally been?
In the last year,
he's been everywhere. I see the pictures on the Facebook. Sean Wally, what's your favorite place that you've been on your Globetrotter trek?
Wow. The guest asking the questions. Tony, I have an affinity for Hawaii. It was amazing. New Zealand, Australia. I would throw Monaco in there. I don't nearly have the millions needed to spend a lot of time in Monaco, but hey, I'll take the one night I had there. So much to see in this world, and thankfully, I was able to do it.
That flight to Australia is so long. I don't know if I could make it.
That's why we, split it up with Hawaii. That was a little bit helpful.
Yeah, I went to Japan in 2003 with the Sonics, and that was long enough. I sat in my seat for 11 hours. I never moved, which is probably not a smart thing to do. But stuck up against the window, and every movie they tried to put in wouldn't work, and so I ended up with Finding Nemo.
Tony, you didn't have astronaut's underwear on, did you? 11 hours on the flight.
I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
Tony, you asked the question I was ready to ask you in the, it's got to be approaching 2 decades you've been in the Seattle market. What are your fondest memories of your working time in Seattle in sports?
Well, at the beginning, it was always fun to work with Rod Simons because I had started at Channel 11, and I came up. He brought me up there after a chance meeting at a movie junket in New York. That was always fun. I think even after all this time and the Super Bowls and the NBA Finals with the Sonics, and I think it still has to be the '95 Mariners season. I mean, I came to Seattle in May of '95, and so to see that right off the bat, it really was unbelievable what happened from the end of August all the way through. No matter how many times I see the double, I get a little chill every time I see it. It really was something.
Was definitely an amazing run, and one, of course, we all know we haven't seen since. Now, Tony, in all of your career, after you graduated from Santa Clara, what do you know now that you wish you knew coming out of college, that you wish you could tell a college student, a high school student today?
Well, the funny thing is that they always say now is, don't go into TV. because it's kind of crazy the way it's been the last 20 years now with all the social media and everything else we have to do besides actually make. My advice is always do an internship if you can. That's really where you learn. I mean, you can do production classes at school and you can take TV writing classes, but to really come in here and do it, to be able to sit in with the people who do it all the time and get your stuff on the air, I really think that is so valuable.
Now, Tony, of course, you being a Santa Clara alum, I'm sure that you follow some of the programs and, of course, especially basketball. New head coach Herb Sendek is the head coach at Santa Clara. Do you see him doing some great things and turning around the program in the West Coast Conference?
I do. There's a real excitement around him after coming off of what we've been going through. I knew Kara Williams and Dick Davey when I went to school there, and then afterwards when I worked in San Jose, I got to work with them some more. And I was never a fan of getting rid of Dick Davey in the first place. And we thought, or someone thought that it was going to be better without him, and it turned out not to be. And I think right now, after a long stretch, I think Herb can turn things around. I'll tell you what's the most frustrating is every year when Gonzaga is at Santa Clara, Santa Clara always has the lead, always. Right down until about the last 2 minutes, and then they blow it somehow. And that's infuriating.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you're right. You know, Santa Clara does such a great job. And they, you know, Gonzaga brings out the best in a lot of these programs. But what a great, great venue Santa Clara has. I mean, just a beautiful arena through and through. And you know, when it's packed, there's a lot of noise. And, you know, I'm surprised that Santa Clara isn't farther along in this conference, you know, than they should be, because they do. They have some of the best facilities. Of course, we're talking about Herb Sendek coming in. He has a strong prowess of, you know, coaching some strong Division I basketball teams. And so I sense that things definitely will turn around here soon.
Yeah, there's been some talk among the alumni. If you read the magazines or kind of look at the chats that the alumni talk about, that the school really needed to spend more money in the sports program to really be a player. I mean, we got rid of football back in '93. That was a blow. Thankfully, I had graduated already and was able to see half football my whole time there. But, you know, they saved a lot of money there, and people want them to put it other places. The soccer program is tremendous. Both teams have won national championships, but I think without football, the basketball team really is the premier team. And now with Herb there, and they have a new athletic director that they brought in from Syracuse, so a big name school. She was an assistant AD there. Between those two, and some more money being spent, things will turn around.
Now, Tony, the last great football player to leave, actually play at Santa Clara, who might that be?
Brent Jones. Well, I would say Brent Jones, but it's not. It's the punter, I think, and I can't remember his name.
Oh, it was a punter. I was going to say Brent Jones too. Now, did Doug Cosby go to Santa Clara also?
Doug Cosby, I think he did go to Santa Clara. Also, one of the great names in football, Dan Pastorini, was a quarterback at Santa Clara. But I think the punter, and it is the punter. I just can't remember his name.
You've got me stumped. I'm going to have to look that one up now.
Yeah, look it up and let me know. I just can't remember his name. But I think probably the most well known one, aside from Pastorini, is Brent Jones, who I think initially got drafted by Pittsburgh, but then ended up with the 49ers and winning lots of Super Bowls. So, and he's still a very popular person in the Bay Area. He still lives there in Santa Clara, and you can see him quite a bit when you go down there.
Tony, how awesome has it been to move from the longtime Dexter Avenue King 5 Studios to the palatial, up-to-date, new technology studios on First, right across from Safeco Field?
I'm not sure about the new technology, but the building is nice. You know, the only difference for us now is we are amongst the people. Over on Dexter, we were on the second floor in our own office, in our own little hole behind the behind the kitchen. We were, nobody even knew where to find us. Some people in the station didn't even know where we were, which was
no
okay.
More sports then.
No more sports then. No, and so now we're in the we are in the newsroom. But at least I have a position where we're surrounded by all the morning people. So when we get in here, there's really nobody around us. So we just can't be as loud and yell and what we used to do. But the building is great. It's easier to get to than the older building. And it is literally across the street from Safeco Field.
No more mini bat baseball in the King 5 Sports Department.
No. None of that. No golf. No. Just throwing the ball around. No. That was a long time ago when you were there. We have a lot more shows now to do, so there's no time for any of that stuff.
Tony White, thank you so much for your time, your insight. Executive sports producer, King 5 in Seattle. You can follow his musings at King 5 Sports. Tony, be sure to say hi to Paul and Chris Egan in Rio. He's definitely roughing it in Rio.
Hey, Tony.
Will do.
Brian Barker.
There you go. There you go. Right at your fingertips.
There we go.
See, Tony, we put our crack right. Interns to work as well.
Very good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Thanks for your time. Tony White in Seattle, as he said, across the street from Safeco Field at the new King 5 Studios.
Man, Brian Barker, man, 6'2", 201 pounds. Born in Jacksonville, played Santa Clara, one of the great punters to come out of Santa Clara. Hey, we give all the information that you can muster. So, you know, we're talking about great players, and we come up with Brian Barker, punter, one of the last players to play and come out of Santa Clara football.
Man, awesome. Sean, exactly that. Awesome stuff, as you said. And who would have thought that Santa Clara has produced great football players? Because, of course, they haven't had football for a very long time. But when they did, they still found ways to have NFL talent on their roster.
Yeah, you know, as we were talking, Tony mentioned Dan Pastorini, great football quarterback. Of course, he had a year stint with the Oakland Raiders. As a matter of fact, Dan Pastorini was the reason why the Oakland Raiders actually won the Super Bowl in 1980. He was the starting quarterback that year, and then he was injured, and then inserted one Jim Plunkett, who not only won one Super Bowl, but two Super Bowls for the Raiders, and we can accredit that to Dan Pastorini, former Santa Clara Bronco.
Well, Sean, you brought up the Oakland Raiders, and this next bit of audio is for the Raider Nation and any Oakland fans listening to this show, especially down in the Bay Area. So let's see what a famous radio host has to say about the Raiders in 2016.
So I said this about the Raiders. I got the Cowboys and the Raiders to talk about here. So I've been teasing this for now like 20 minutes. I'm sorry, I want to get to it. So I came out in my NFL predictions Tuesday. People were upset with me. These were my NFL predictions, playoff teams. And of all the teams, the one that got people all freaking out is the Raiders. How can you go 10-6 on the Raiders? And I'm going to do this over the next month until the NFL season starts. I can give you reasons why I think Denver goes from Super Bowl win to 6-10. You can't argue them. They're facts. So let's go into the four reasons why I have the Raiders, for the first time in over a decade, winning their division and hosting a playoff game. There are four things. Number one, favorable schedule. In 11 of 16 games, and this is a big edge, they have the better quarterback. Against Philip Rivers twice, they don't. They don't against Cam, Andrew Luck, or Drew Brees. They face the Panthers, Colts, and Saints. But their schedule, the toughest road game, is at Kansas City. And in an 11 of a 16 games, they have an edge at quarterback. That's number one. Number two, they have made notable acquisitions. Reggie Nelson, tied for the NFL in interceptions, comes over safety. Linebacker Bruce Irvin, aggressive pass rusher. They signed the best offensive line free agent guard. And Pro Football Focus gave only two teams an A in the offseason. The Raiders were one of them. So notable quality acquisitions. Number three, what do I consider the most crucial unit in the NFL for success? Now, we know quarterback and coach matter. I consider offensive line the key to NFL franchises. Outside of the Dallas Cowboys, they now may have the best offensive line in the National Football League. Donald Penn, left tackle, top five tackle. Center Rodney Hudson, top five center. They got the best guard in the free agent market. They now appear to have the best offensive line, not only in their division, but potentially in the AFC. And number four, they have the best 25 and under young stars in the division, all of them. There's three great young players in the division. The Raiders have all of them. Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, and Amari Cooper. All cheap, all under contract, all young and healthy. So the schedule's favorable. They made above average offseason acquisitions. Got two starters, both defense. They have the best offensive line outside of the Cowboys in the NFL and certainly, arguably, the best in the AFC. And they've got the three best young, cheap, healthy stars to build around. Folks, it's not that tough. Those are four real reasons. The schedule's a fact. The acquisition's a fact. The offensive line's a fact. The stars are a fact. We know in the NFL, somebody that did not make the playoffs will make the playoffs. It's the Raiders. It is a real team with a real coaching staff. And what I love about their offensive line, the dumb teams in this league build from the sidelines in. The smart ones build from the ball out. The Raiders have gotten smart. Quarterback, linebacker, guard, center, left tackle. That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. Top of the hour. Every NFL team described in three words.
So, well, yes. Sean Boyd, as we were talking to ourselves, apparently, I wanted to put a smile on your face. The Oakland Raider fans, also known as Raider Nation, are Bay Area listeners. And I provided you with what one national radio host, Colin Cowherd, had to say. And you can also find him on television. And he is a Northwest native to tie him to the PNW, went to Eastern Washington. And he believes, as you do, Sean Boyd, the Raiders will be in the playoffs in 2016.
Well, yes. Well, as I was saying, I picked the Raiders at 10-6 as well. I do believe that the Denver Broncos will be a formidable foe in the AFC West as repeat. It just depends on how this quarterback situation goes. But I do agree and echo the words of Colin Cowherd on the Oakland Raiders. This should be a fantastic season, man. And I look forward to these guys getting things started. Man, Wally, it's been a great show, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been super exciting. Two great guests, Terry Holloman of the Barbershop radio show on Sports Radio 950 KJR in Seattle, 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday evenings. And like I said, listen to On the Double with the Double S Express Mondays at 7. Then on Wednesdays, you can bounce over and listen to Marcus Trufant and Terry Holloman on the Barbershop, both former guests here on the Double. And who can forget Tony White, executive sports producer at King 5 TV in Seattle, doing great things with new studios, new equipment. They've got former On the Double guest Chris Egan roughing it in Brazil for the Olympics. Of course, as Tony mentioned, Paul Silvey sitting right next to him in the sports department, holding things down for King 5 on the television. And Sean, going back to what we started with, Ken Griffey Jr., he is in the Hall of Fame, the very first Mariner in the National Baseball Hall of Fame, doing great things. One thing I want to say before we get out of here is I think the biggest, while there were a couple surprises, not sure if you're aware of either or both of these, I was shocked to learn both of these items, but the Mariners were gracious enough to invite Seattle Seahawks Hall of Famers Cortez Kennedy and Steve Largent out for Griffey's jersey retirement, as well as one Gary Payton and Spencer Haywood representing the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah, I did get a chance to see that, and that was great that they embodied both the Seattle Supersonics and Seattle Seahawks on such a great occasion in the retirement of Ken Griffey Jr.'s jersey and his induction into the Hall of Fame. It's a fantastic weekend in Seattle. Beautiful weather. The cover was brought back, and there were great crowds, it looked like, on hand as well. So a great weekend for the Seattle Mariners and one the kid, Ken Griffey Jr.
Over 130,000 fans filled Safeco Field over the three-game sweep of the Los Angeles Angels. So it just goes to show you, give the fans something to cheer on, give them some good baseball, and of course, a little Griffey does help. But, I mean, it was insane. I was there Saturday. The lines were snaking, zigzagging all over the sidewalk. You couldn't even walk on the sidewalk. There were so many fans, thousands of fans. It was amazing. But, you know, a historic weekend in Seattle for many reasons. That we didn't have time to get to the NHRA drag races that your brother Pat had the chance to work. Seafair, the Hydros on Lake Washington. The busiest sports weekend in Seattle, Sean Boyd.
Yes, and of course, as you're mentioning, the biggest weekend thus far for Seattle. But, Sean Wally, next week, actually this week, this weekend, the Seattle Seahawks and the rest of the NFL taking place as preseason is right in the midst. And as we talk football, man, it is right here, my friend, and I'm so excited.
Who do your Oakland Raiders take on this weekend preseason game number one?
Man, you know, the Raiders, you know, I'm not really too excited about who the Raiders are playing in preseason. I just want these guys to be healthy. But, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, they have to go to the Arizona Cardinals here. And, you know, which is something that Seattle, I'm sure, is going to be watching pretty, you know, even though the starters aren't going to play that much, you know, it's still something that they should take a look at. Of course, the Raiders also have the Green Bay Packers, Tennessee Titans, and Seattle Seahawks all in preseason. And, of course, we know that fourth preseason game doesn't really mean too much because they're only going to play the starters for maybe one series and hold those guys and get ready to start the regular season. But, again, Sean Wally, the NFL season is here.
And for the 12th man faithful, the Seattle Seahawks travel to Arrowhead to take on the hated Kansas City Chiefs in week one of the preseason. That will be Saturday, a 1:30 Pacific kickoff.
So, yeah, man, of course, that's going to get everybody excited. I know the Hall of Fame game was put on hold. Can you believe this, Sean Wally? Because the field was not deemed playable. How can that happen? I don't know how that can happen. I'm sure that, you know, they'll get that fixed. I don't know if they're going to play that Hall of Fame game. Have you heard any word that they're going to play that before they kick off the preseason?
There's no reason to. It's an extra game for both those teams. If it was one of their four, yes, it would be valuable for the coaches, the evaluators and the players for a chance to make the squad. But because it's an extra game and they still have four games left of the preseason, there's no time nor no reason to make that up.
Yeah, yeah. Why even play it? You know, just go through and, like I've always said, just you want to make sure that you get your roster down to 53 players and everybody stays healthy, and then they can start the regular season on September the 9th, 10th, and 11th. Should be a great weekend. I know that the Raiders will be in New Orleans for week one. That's a Fox Sports game, and so you know where I will be. I'll be watching that game for week one. Well, Mr. Wally, we have that video ready.
Well, Sean, another great show in the books. Thanks to yourself down there in the confines of the Elk Grove DSX studios. Doug Newsom holding it down for us in Paradise, California, at the palatial BBS Radio Studios. Thanks to Terry Holloman. Thanks to Tony White for joining us tonight. And as we've talked about throughout this broadcast, Ken Griffey Jr., honored as he should be at Safeco Field. His number retired on Saturday. 24 will never be worn again in the Seattle Mariners' complete organization from rookie ball on up through the major leagues. And we'll leave you with a video that was played at Safeco Field about Junior, narrated by Seattle's own Macklemore.
Once a generation, a player comes along who not only excels at the game of baseball, he transforms it. The Babe, Jackie, Hammer and Hank, the Say Hey Kid, and then there's Junior.
Welcome to the show, Ken Griffey Jr.
The backwards cap, the beaming smile, and that swing, it was poetry.
What a swing by Junior.
That brings goosebumps to me.
Ken Griffey Jr. was baseball for 22 seasons. We look forward to seeing something special every time that he took the field. And he delivered.
Perfect timing. I don't believe it. You know why? He has all those gold gloves now.
Who can forget hip-hop hooray? The menacing waggle of that dark-stained bat. Who can forget the first pitch he saw in the Kingdome? Who can forget the sprint on Eggers' double that turned the Northwest baseball crazy? It's a long road from Seattle to Cooperstown. It winds some 2,400 miles through big cities and small towns. At every stop along the way, there's a Ken Griffey Jr. story. On little league fields across the country, every kid wanted to be the kid. At major league ballparks, big leaguers marveled at the magic for two decades.
Oh, that may have hit the warehouse and they announced it.
His outstanding offense was rewarded in silver, and his dazzling defense in gold. He's one of only eight members of the 600 home run club. And he did it the right way.
Welcome back, Junior, my way!
Junior transcended the game.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Ken Griffey Jr. Ken!
I picked Ken Griffey Jr.
Huh. It's Ken Griffey Jr., man.
He even ran for president.
We need a man in the White House who can hit a Mark Lacy overhand curveball.
Ken Griffey Jr. put Seattle baseball on the map. And in our hearts. And though he will live forever in Cooperstown, his first baseball home will always be here. Our beloved Dave Niehaus said it often, and he said it best.
Junior, you are unbelievable!
Oh, it's me!
My, oh, my!
I just don't see him any better.
Curtain call for Junior.
Standing ovation. He's got the ability to rise to the occasion.
championship.
He reaches up, batters into the wall.
Leaps, does he have it? Yes, he does.
Wyatt Diamond makes the catch.
Oh, my, what a catch by Griffey.
Did it here, Junior.
Let Griffey Junior touch them all.
Oh, Bird Dead.
Oh, there it is.
They're going to wave him in.
This will be the house that Griffey built.
The all-time religion low. Junior does it.
He just continues to add his name to the record books.
It's that in your baseball history book.